Good morning.
Good morning.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 22, verses 7 through 23, found in the New Testament section in your Bible. Feel free to follow along in your Bible or on the screen. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." They asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When the hour came, he took his place at the table, and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you. That was a lovely reading. I think Sharon might talk probably as slow as many of you wish that I would speak when I get my sermon feedback. Apparently, I get excited and talk faster. That's so weird. Friends, grief is exhausting. Can I get an amen from the church? Amen. There is nothing, it seems, more human and more equalizing than what we go through when we lose someone we love to death. The body and the mind take months, sometimes years, to catch up to the reality because the separation is so painful. My dad died in 1995, and I still sometimes find myself missing him at milestone events or sometimes even in quiet moments of mundane life. Even usually on Christmas, my brain wakes up and thinks I should call my dad. Even since 1995, that's been going on. Now, having lost both my parents, I've learned from what many of you have told me, which is that as the years go by, I may miss them even more. Is that true? Many of you have said that to me. There's a separation that happens in death that can only be addressed by God, a pain that can only be comforted by time and by Jesus and a lot of tears. Grief takes a toll. I think Jesus knew this truth. I think that Jesus knew the reality of life, the grief that we would face, and the deep, deep longing that we would have for resurrection to please be true. Last week, we heard the Apostle Paul teach the Corinthian church what it looked like to gather at the communion table. Paul reprimanded the church for not examining their hearts and their lives as they participated in the sacred meal that our Lord provides. Today, our text pushes us into deeper learning. Today, the invitation to eat this feast in remembrance of Jesus comes from Jesus Christ himself. It is Christ's table. In Luke's gospel, Jesus gathers the 12 for supper and shares with them this sacred meal before his crucifixion and death. In Luke's telling of what Jesus Christ did in this sacred moment, we may recognize some of what Jesus provides in moments of grief and in moments of struggle. Jesus was intentional about what took place. Jesus knew what was coming, and Jesus came to this moment prepared to give his disciples what they needed. It started before the meal, before the table was ever set. Even before the disciples entered the room, Jesus had a whole history, remember, of sharing meals throughout his life. We heard of him eating at Simon's house when he was interrupted by a woman. He shared a meal on a hillside. He had dinner with Mary and Martha. He ate with a Pharisee, and he shared a meal with Zacchaeus just before entering Jerusalem. Jesus made it a habit of doing this, to gather people to share a meal, a conversation, a reminder of how to be in relationship around the table. For this meal, Jesus made advance preparations. It wasn't a surprise. He knew what was coming. Jesus knew what was taking place, and Jesus had a plan. This meal was intentional, and it was significant. It was an invitation not just to share this one meal, but an invitation to all of us for years to come. Jesus had a plan, and he invited the disciples to be part of that plan, knowing where it was going, to his death and then to his resurrection. On this All Saints Day, the thing I keep hoping we remember is that Jesus has a plan. We recognize the difficulty of loss and pain in our lives, and Jesus reminds us there is a plan beyond our suffering. Jesus is the one who prepares, and his life, this life that we have, this loss that we carry, will not be the end. In the meantime, we hear echoes of God's plan here, in Christ's invitation to celebrate this meal in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Jesus knew what was coming, and Jesus knew what it would cost. Already, throughout all the meals that Jesus shared, throughout all the Gospels, when we hear of arguments in the temple or healing stories or parables, we have learned that hardship, loss, disappointment, even death, Jesus did not escape any of these things either. Jesus Christ lived through these things and knew we would endure these realities of life as well. That is why this invitation to this table is so important and profound, because Jesus had made the preparations for us knowing that we would need help to make it through life. Losing a loved one, whether expected or not, is painful and heartbreaking and disorienting. We endure the physical separation from those we love in the comforting presence of God, but that doesn't take away the reality of our pain. In the invitation to take in the love and grace of Jesus Christ, the love and grace that Jesus Christ gives us in this sacred meal, we are also reminded that what we bring to this table isn't a surprise to Jesus. Whatever pain and heartache we endure, we bring it to the table. And Jesus sets a place for us there, remembering the pain we carry is not the end. Jesus prepares for us and waits for us, invites us in, and cares for us, knowing what we bring is too much to be carried alone. We need Christ's love and grace to make it through. There's this moment in Luke's telling of the Lord's Supper where Jesus passes the cup twice. Did you catch that? He passes the first cup, which was, in that tradition, it marked the end of the meal and the beginning of the conversation or the teaching. That was what was happening in that moment. It was an intentional move, letting the disciples know that what was about to take place wasn't just an ordinary meal, but an instruction for living. And that instruction begins with Jesus calling the disciples to share. Take this and divide it among yourselves. We hear echoes of the Acts church here, right? Jesus literally instructing us, calling us to share everything we have so that everyone has enough. But here at this meal of preparation for Jesus to die, I can't help but think that Jesus was not just teaching them how to live, but showing them how to grieve. Jesus was reminding them that they needed each other, that we need a table set with others to endure the pain of grief. Take this and divide it among yourselves. We cannot carry it alone. As we take in the grace and the love that God provides for us at our communion table, we practice sharing in our grief, knowing that we do not make it through life alone. We need to share. We have to share with others the burden of loss. We carry one another. We sit at a table and we feast with one another. We laugh with one another. We share in our grief, in the grief of those who are not with us, because none of us make it through our grief on our own. I love this time of year, and it's been such an amazing week where it's sunny and bright, and you can see all of the trees have turned color, and bright oranges and yellows fill our view. Today is also my favorite day of the entire year because we gain an hour of sleep, and I no longer have to drive to work in the dark. Slowly, though, what will happen? All the leaves will fall from the trees, and the branches will be stark and barren, the stark and barren signs of winter. And I have grown to love that too. I have grown to love the stark and barren branches of winter because they are a sign to me that spring is coming. A lot of rainy days, a lot of dreary, hard days will be between now and that truth, I know. But the stark and barren branches remind us that though we cannot see it, something is at work. Winter is our reminder that there is more to life than what we see. Winter is our reminder that though life seems barren, sometimes inside, something inside those branches is at work, preparing, creating, recreating, bringing spring. Though on the outside, those branches seem without life, we hold on to the hope that soon there will be new life, new leaves, new fruit. Jesus Christ knew what was coming for himself and for us. Jesus knew that the reality of death would separate us until Christ returns and we will all be together again. And Jesus knew that we would need one another to hold us together just as much as we need the love and grace that God provides at our table. Let's pray together. Loving and faithful God, we come to you this morning bringing all of the burdens that we carry. I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be present to us at this sacred meal as we remember those who have gone before us, those that we are separated from, those places in us where we need your comfort and your love and your answers and your presence. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.